And now, for the next few minutes, I'd like to think with you about conquering fear. In our scripture for this morning, in the 34th Psalm and verse 4, we read these words. I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Every one of us fears something. It can be a small little fear, like me, when I have a fear of snakes, you know. Or it can be fear of disease or crowds or flying or solitude or even fear of death itself or fear of rejection, fear of failure, fear of not being perfect. Every one of us has some fears in life. What do we do about our fears? Well, if we do nothing, we can let them control our lives and put us in a prison of being unable to act. Or we can do something to overcome our fears and free ourselves from the paralysis of doing nothing. Someone has said, the man or woman who tries to do something and fails is a lot better off than the man or woman who tries to do nothing and succeeds. It isn't easy to conquer our fears. Most of our fears have been with us for a long, long time. Many fears start small in childhood. Take the fear of rejection or the fear of failure or the fear of not being perfect. When I was a child, my dad, bless his heart, was about the best father anyone could ever want. Looking back, I know he did it because he wanted to help me. But when I wanted to build a birdhouse or do anything with a hammer or a saw, he would watch me for a few minutes and then he would say, here, son, let me show you how. And then he'd take the hammer and saw and go away from me, and he'd build whatever I was trying to make. And so to this day, I have an ingrained fear every time I try to make anything with a hammer or a saw or anything else with my hands. I get nervous and shook up and all, really have a struggle to do anything with my hands. But back to the fact that many times in childhood, someone has told us something that started the fear in our lives. Perfectionists often fear that what they do is not perfect enough because of some experience as a child when they were told to be perfect. I used to teach a course on helping people who were perfectionists when I was a chaplain down at the Salvation Army Adult Rehabilitation Center helping recovering alcoholics, because just about every one of those guys down there have a feeling they have to be perfect. There's nothing perfect in life but God. No matter what you can make and what you can think in life, nothing is perfect. There's always a flaw somewhere in some way. And the perfectionist struggles and always fails in some way or another. And that's why a lot of those men were down there, and men and women were down there, alcoholics, because they turned to alcohol instead of helping them, being able to help themselves. The fear of failure is another problem for many people. They feel that they always have to succeed. The big business executives fail about 75% of the time, but they get up and they try again and again until they get something that works. A person who has a fear of failure fails a few times and then they quit trying and they give up. Rejection is another big fear of some people. They are hurt at some time in their life by somebody, and so they quit on people. They won't trust other people. They cut themselves off from others and become lonely. Often, these childhood fears start very small, like a trickle of water, and as the person grows older, that trickle becomes a stream, and then the stream cuts deep into a crevice. The fear takes over much of their life, and it becomes a habit, and it's difficult to break a habit. In the way that we think and the way that we act and the way that we live, the whole process gets embedded in our minds and we think we cannot change. But we can change. And that's what's so wonderful about being a human being. We can change. We can change the way we think. We can change the way we act. We can change the way we live. We can do anything by changing the way we think if we want to really change badly enough. It all depends on our real desire to do it. My dad, when he came over from England, he was a chain smoker, and he smoked cigarettes all day long. He went to church one night, and a preacher talked about the fact that we have our bodies are a living temple, and he realized that smoking was bad for his body. And so he went outside that church. He took the pack of cigarettes out of his mouth. He stomped it in, down in the gutter, and then he walked away and never smoked another cigarette as long as he lived, and he lived to be 93. This is where our Christian faith comes into the picture. The real business of our Christian faith is to help people to change from lives filled with fear and without hope to lives that are free, full of enthusiasm and creative and bold enough to try and accomplish new things. All this change starts with God. In 2 Timothy, in the first chapter and the 7th verse, Paul writing here to a young minister by the name of Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy and to us, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." When we realize that our Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins and we accept Him into our hearts and our lives, we are forgiven for all of our sins and failures of the past, and we are put right with God, and we are God's sons or daughters, and we have the power to overcome all our fears, and we are changed, as Paul puts it, into a new man or a new woman. The Christian life is exciting because we can be bold and try new things and live new lives. Why? Because God is with us and we do not have to be afraid. I learned a great lesson and a way of overcoming fear during World War II. When I was a rifleman on the front lines down in New Guinea and Leyte and Luzon in Japan, 220 days on and ahead of the front lines. You know, the foxhole is dug with a fighting bay in the front, deep enough for three men to stand and fire over the mound in front. And then there, right behind that area, there's a flat area about 2 feet deep where you dig a place for two men to sleep at night. And then we would each take turns on guard duty for 1 hour while our two buddies slept. And we would sleep 2 hours and guard, be on guard duty 1 hour all night long, every night. I was on guard duty one night sitting on the ledge at the end of the fighting bay, looking out over no man's land, and everything was quiet. It had to be quiet because we didn't want the enemy to know where we were. And the moon was out bright, but our foxhole was in the shade of in the jungle. And I looked at a round object about 2 yards away from where we were. It looked like a helmet. In the next few seconds, fear filled my being. What could I do? My rifle was leaning up against the fighting bay. I couldn't get it up in a firing position, or the enemy would be on me before I could get it, do anything with it. I couldn't throw a grenade because anybody knows you throw a grenade, there's a snap and there's 5 seconds before the thing explodes, and by that time the enemy would be on us. I couldn't wake up my buddies because they'd make noise and the enemy would hear them. The only thing I could do was to grab a bayonet stuck in the fighting mount. I grabbed it and lunged out into the night and brought it down on the other side of what I thought was a helmet. The blade of the bayonet hit a rock, and that was what it was. It wasn't a helmet, it was a rock. And I wasn't afraid anymore. And everything was okay. And I learned a great lesson about fear at that particular part, that particular time. You don't have to be afraid anymore because you know what it is out there. Find out what fear is all about. And when you know the facts, often the fear is gone. Think about all the things that can help you and then do them. Every so often we face decisions in our life that require considerable risks on our part. One man in this situation was really afraid to make a move. He went to an older, wiser friend of his with his problem. After he told his friend all about his situation, he asked his friend, what should I do? His friend scribbled 10 words on a piece of paper, which became the best advice he ever had. And the 10 words were, be bold and mighty forces will come to your aid. He thought about it. Whenever he had a challenge in his life and failed, it was because he let fear of failure stop him from really trying. Whenever he accepted a challenge, he had the flash of courage. He was able to cope with it until he was successful. An executive was known for making instantaneous decisions. Someone asked him why he always made his quick decisions. He said, at least I make my mistakes quickly. And the questioner asked him if he believed in the old adage, look before you leap. He replied cheerfully, no, I don't. He thought a minute and then he added, the trouble with that axiom, that is, look before you leap, is that if you look too long or too often, you will never leap at all. Be bold, and mighty forces will come to your aid. Paul says that God has given us the power and the love and the sound mind. And after we have used our minds to the best of our abilities, God gives us the power to do it. I was listening to a radio talk show some time ago. You know, I always like to listen to those talk shows and hear what people are saying. A woman called in and said she was afraid of flying in an airplane. She said it was giving her husband and children fits because she wouldn't fly. The talk show host said, well, what you got to do is to just do it. You got to realize that the airplane was built to fly. Its wings are built to raise the plane up in the air, and it is built to maneuver in the air currents up and down and so forth, just like a ship, it maneuvers on the sea currents. The pilots study for years to fly an airplane in all kinds of weather. And this is the most important thing, he said. The pilots want to get to their destination as much as you want to get to your destination. They don't want to die any more than you want to die. Then the talk show host said, I have a son in college 500 miles away from my home. My son said, "Dad, I'm going to drive home this Christmas vacation." His father said, "I don't want you to drive home. I'll send you the money. You fly home. It's safer for you flying than driving on the freeways in the wintertime." And it's probably true. Flying is safer than driving. And then the talk show host made this last statement. There are many things in life that we don't like to do, but we do it. Say to yourself, "I'm a mature woman. I don't like to fly, but I can do it, and I will do it." And then go to the airport and watch the people coming and going and say to yourself, "I'm as good as they are. I can do this." And then take a short flight by yourself. Settle in the seat, relax. And remember what we talked about. Just then the whole thing turned, turn the whole thing over to the pilots and crew and let them take you where you want to go. It's like your husband driving you somewhere. You just let him go and he drives you to where you need to go. I began thinking of the Christian as a real edge. Has a real edge on the lady because the Christian puts his or her complete faith and trust in God. The Christian knows the promises of God in the Bible. In the 27th Psalm, in the first verse, the Lord says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" And in the 34th Psalm, in the fourth verse that we read by way of scripture this morning, "I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears." And now I'm not saying that freeing yourself from fear is an easy or quick thing. I'm saying you can do it, and God can help you. Right now, think of fear that you have, and then pray. Everything begins with prayer. Pray and ask God to help you to overcome your fear. Pray like this: "Heavenly Father, come into my life and help me to overcome and name the fear." And then pray, "Thank you, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, amen." Visualize yourself and God overcoming that fear, realizing that God is with you. Pray in this way, twice a day or when you get up in the morning and just before you go off at sleep, and pray this prayer for a month and see what happens. Gradually, you will realize that there is nothing to be afraid of because God is with you. God will take care of you. And then do it and get out in front of your fear. If you can overcome your fear in a small way, a little at a time, until you find you can do it. Little successes lead to big successes until you will have conquered your fear. Remember our scripture for this morning. "I prayed to the Lord, he answered me, and he freed me from all my fears." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And now, during a few minutes of silent prayer, let's ask God to come into our lives this morning. And just pray, "Heavenly Father, come into my life, forgive all my mistakes and sins of the past, and help me to overcome my fears in Jesus' name. Amen." Let's have a time of silent prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for being with us every minute of every day. Help us to overcome our fears so that we can live lives of power and hope and love. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.